Well, good morning and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Those of you who've braved the elements, we praise the Lord for the marvels of modern heat. Our scripture text this morning is taken from the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he comes leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, he stands behind our wall. He is looking through the windows, gazing through the lattice. My beloved spoke and said to me, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." Now, the Song of Solomon is also known as the Song of Songs. The Middle English title for this book of the Bible was Canticles. So if you're reading one of the older commentators and you come across that word, that is the reference here. And the term canticle simply means a spiritual song. The Song of Solomon is the fifth of five poetic Old Testament books. We have the book of Job, the book of Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and finally the Song of Solomon. And three of these books were written in their entirety by Solomon, that is Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. And Solomon also authored some of the Psalms. Now, the Song of Solomon is a romantic love poem, humanly speaking. There are two main characters in the Song of Solomon. We have the young Shulamite woman, and we have the beloved, who is Solomon. The Song of Solomon is also a poem which speaks of Christ's love for his church. This is the spiritual aspect of the book of the Song of Solomon. And in the New Testament, of course, we apply this to Christ and his church. But in the Old Testament, the spiritual application was to God and his wife, Israel. Now, Jesus himself said to the disciples on the road to Emmaus that the Old Testament scriptures, indeed all the scriptures, have something to say about him. So we have before us a fitting text for Valentine's Day, which we can apply horizontally and also vertically. We shall approach it after that fashion. First, with regard to its horizontal applications to romantic love. And secondly, the vertical applications to divine love. First, romantic love. So married people, married couples, this is certainly for you. But for those of you who are unmarried, pay attention, because these things may instruct you and spare you some problems and mistakes when the day comes when you will be married. Perhaps it may be that you've made up your mind, that you've been married, and at least as you sit here, you don't foresee a time where you will be married again. Nevertheless, likewise, take these things to heart, for they may instruct you, and you may be able to speak truth to somebody who is undergoing such a journey. Notice the interaction, the way that the Shulamite woman and Solomon speak to one another. The voice of my beloved. Rise up, my love, my fair one. What an excellent model of communication for a husband and a wife to have. Here we have mutual respect, mutual love, which is affirmed by both. Not long ought to pass, ladies and gentlemen, before you affirm your love for your spouse. You did it in courtship, and it ought to be extended throughout your married life. So, if you love that woman, tell her. If you love that man, tell him. Instead of calling him or her nag, try my love. You'll catch more bees with honey than with rice cakes. Behold, he comes leaping upon the mountains. Solomon and the Shulamite are excited about the prospect of spending time together. They cannot wait to see one another. At the end of your busy day, do you look forward to being in the company of your spouse? Or do you count your spouse an enemy? Even more so, does your spouse have reason to look forward to seeing you? Or at the end of the day, are you in your pill mode? Short-tempered, nagging. The scripture says that it is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. And it's cold up there in that corner of the housetop today, but it's still better than being in a house, a warm house, with a contentious woman. And we could substitute, I suppose, by way of application, that it is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with an angry man. Works both ways, friends. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. We see that these words are spoken by the beloved. We see the initiative of the man in courtship here displayed. So, gentlemen, take the lead in instilling romance in your marriage. Wait not for your wife to do it. And certainly wait not lest you become bitter because you failed in your charge. Notice also the invitation to come away. We shall apply it this way. To come away from the difficulties of daily life. And to come away to the special place of private communion with one's partner, with one's spouse, where none other can intrude, and where there is safety and refuge from the storms of life. Now, romantic love is not to be divorced from agape love. You've probably heard the term. This is, that term agape is from a Greek word which means the divine love in all of its expression. The idea here is an unconditional, selfless, sacrificial love. And we find it used that way in Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 25. We actually have that word there used. And the whole context of that passage is that the love of husband and wife should be the same kind of love that Christ has shown for his church, for you and I. So romantic love, agape love, is not to be experienced outside of God's presence for Christian couples. The exclusion of Christ from your marriage will undermine your marriage. Solomon says, through the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We can only glue ourselves together so much. But if we don't get the greatest of glue, the divine glue, keeping our marriage together, we will soon find ourselves in a heap of trouble. We've now arrived at our second major point this morning: the picture of divine love in our text. Now, as we said in the opening, the subject of all the scriptures, Old Testament and New, is preeminently a person, the person of Jesus Christ. So then, what do we see here in our text that is illustrative of the love that exists between Christ and his bride, the church? The voice of my beloved, exclaims the bride. Christ's voice is sweet music to our spiritual ears. We recognize his voice, the voice of our beloved, for we are a sheep and he is our shepherd. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him. They do not know the voice of strangers. Behold, the obstacles our beloved must overcome to reach us. We read it in our text. He must leap upon mountains and skip upon hills. Isn't that some amazing poetic language? When we're first in love, aren't we willing to leap upon mountains and skip upon hills? And we don't even think about it. And then after a while, sometimes it becomes old hat. And there's a mountain there, I ain't crossing that. Well, truth be told, we've not always been the easiest people for Christ to reach. Do I hear an amen? But yet, he was both willing and able to do it. Amen. Belated. Such is his divine love for us. Our beloved Jesus is behind our wall. He is looking through the windows, gazing through the lattice. He's earnestly trying to enter into a relationship with you. And yet each of us has built our own wall with the stones of sin on the foundation of the law. But the scripture says that he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. That stone wall of sin that we've erected between Christ and us, we did a mighty fine job building it. But we don't have the tools to knock it down. But Christ has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. And that word enmity is just kind of like it sounds. The fact that we are enemies of God while we were yet in our sin. that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and he preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. So having broken down our wall, having broken down your wall through his work at the cross, Christ sends forth the invitation saying, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." God affirms his love for us. Believer, you are the special object of Christ's affection. Believers are fair, for the spottings of sin have been washed away through his blood. Come away is the invitation to private communion with Christ. One-on-one time, apart from the world, come away in prayer. Come away through the reading and the meditation of God's Word. Now in context, the call is issued from Christ into the church, his bride, to believers. But surely there is something here for the unbeliever. And we have it in the tail end of our text. Come away. Come away, unbeliever. Come away, fence sitter. Come away, backsliding daughter. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." And let him who thirsts, come. And in the words of the prophet Isaiah, "And you who have no money, come, buy and eat." Christ offers everything and asks for nothing but your heart in return. "Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely." So, friend, to whatever degree this morning that you're afar off, to whatever degree that you've cast off your first love, to whatever degree that you've rejected the correction of he who stands even now gazing through the lattice, earnestly desiring communion with you this morning, leave the place where you have gone. Meet his gaze, the gaze of the Savior. You see his hands there. You know, the ones with the pierced holes in them. You recognize him on the outside of that fence. He's broken down the wall. But he hasn't broken down the fence. He won't break down the fence. You see, there's a gate. that can only be opened from the inside. So come away. Come away with me, he says this morning. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word, for everything that it teaches us. We thank you, God, for your love, which you've shown us. Lord God, that we might be willing to receive that love which you offer so freely this morning. Lord, that we might be pleased to model that love in our marriages, in our relationships. Lord God, that we might remember the days of old and court our spouses as you continually court us, though we mess up every single day. We thank you, God, for your unfailing love in Christ Jesus. Amen.